Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, Frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Stu does America.
We got a big show for you tonight. Jesse Kelly's going to be here talking about all sorts of stuff, but also making America healthy again through pizza. So that's important. But Billy Hollowell is going to join us to preview a supernatural new documentary, but we're going to kick it off by doing yet another green energy failure. And I'm thinking about this in the concept of where we are politically. We have a new president, or an old president who's now new, in there doing all sorts of things. He's got a big agenda he's trying to pass and everything. I think it might be time to just take a moment and look at what not to do. Because, you know, we all get excited about the things we want to do, but we should also be cautious about the things we should not do. What is it that we should avoid? What not to do? Let me give you an example of this. To do so, let's go back to 2010, Barack Obama.
I want to share with you one new development made possible by the clean energy incentives that we've launched. This month, in the Mojave Desert, a company called Bright Source plans to break ground on a revolutionary new type of solar power plant. It's going to put about 1,000 people to work building a state-of-the-art facility. And when it's complete, it will turn sunlight into the energy that will power up to 140,000 homes, the largest such plant in the world. Not in China, not in India, but in California.
Wow. There you go. I mean, that sounds like an ambitious use of government resources, right? Throw some money at some big project. 140,000 homes is a lot. That sounds wonderful. And it did come to fruition. Here's the footage to show you. This is the Ivanpah Solar Energy Facility. It is massive. It's sitting in the desert outside of Vegas. It's a million different mirrors. The concept of it, a bunch of different mirrors surround a central tower. Those mirrors move to reflect the sun at the tower, and it hits the tower and it boils water, a massive amount of it, and it causes all this electricity to be generated. It really is an amazing concept, an idea, and an amazing technology. And it is, you know, obviously with the help of Barack Obama and a bunch of different bills that, look, you and I probably oppose, this thing actually did get built and generated a bunch of electricity. So there you go. Here's some photos of it. You can kind of see, kind of get a concept of it. There's just a giant field of mirrors facing this tower. There's actually three of them kind of right next to each other. And here's a few of the mirrors. And I will say, when I look at these mirrors, it kind of looks like they just brought in a crew to just set up wherever just put these out there in the field. They don't even look like they're lined up. Some of them are in front of other ones. Like, I don't know how that worked. It doesn't seem like, it looks a little haphazard. But hey, you know, I mean, they only got your tax dollars, so we expect them to put them in line. I mean, come on. Ivanpah is the name of it, rising 450 feet above the California desert. It is the largest in the world, the concentrating solar power facility. 2011, the Department of Energy issued three loan guarantees for $1.6 billion in total to finance Ivanpah, a 392-megawatt concentrating solar plant. It started commercial operations in January 2014, that's when it was dedicated. It was in actually February 2014. So there you go. That sounds exciting. What do you mean that's what not to do? What could possibly go wrong? They did wind up turning on. It's not a story where it didn't even turn on. The world's largest solar thermal plant, now fully operational. This is back in 2014. 392 megawatt plant funded by NRG, Google, and Bright Source Energy. Is there anyone else you want to include in that? Maybe, I don't know, the federal government. It's expected to generate enough electricity to power 140,000 homes each year. NRG announced last week that each of the plant's three units is now supplying electricity to California's grid. The Ivanpah plant cost $2.2 billion to build and stretches over 3,500 acres. A lot of space, big plant, big hopes, lots of dreams, but also some doubt. You know, because this, it's easy to doubt it afterward. What about the doubts at the time? Even the New York Times was pointing out, we're not sure this is going to work. A huge solar plant opens, facing doubts about its future. Since the project began, the price of rival technologies has plummeted. Huh. Incentives have begun to disappear. And the appetite among investors for mammoth solar farms has waned. Although several large new projects have been coming online in the recent months, many in the last quarter of 2013, experts say fewer are beginning construction, and not all of those under development will be completed. So you get the kind of timeline here, right? Barack Obama comes out in 2010, says, hey, we're going to throw all this money at this giant solar plant. 2011, it gets dedicated. 2014, it opens. But between that 2010 and 2014, the announcement of the project and its actual opening, a lot of stuff happens. It tends to be reality, right? When you have 4 years of political, economic, technological development, a lot of times you realize, wow, that thing that we thought was a great idea 4 years ago isn't such a great idea anymore. So all these competing technologies wound up becoming better ideas, better values in that time. And so therefore, there were some doubts about the project. Well, we have an update. Are you ready for it? Are you going to be shocked by it when I give it to you? 11 years after a celebrated opening, massive solar plant faces a bleak future in the Mojave Desert. The Ivanpah Solar Power Plant formally opened in 2014 on roughly 5 square miles of federal land, in the California-Nevada border. Though it was hailed at the time as a breakthrough moment for clean energy, its power has been struggling to compete with cheaper solar power technologies. Huh, it's so weird how that works. Pacific Gas and Electric said in a statement it has agreed with owners, including NRG Energy, to terminate its contracts with the Ivanpah plant. NRG said in a statement that the project was successful, but unable to compete with its rival photovoltaic solar technology, such as rooftop panels, which have much lower capital and operating costs. Can we just pause there for just a second? I mean, let me give you an example of the 2024 Toronto Blue Jays. They finished 74-88 on their illustrious season. And I guess they could say our season was a success. We just couldn't compete with the other teams. Now, would that be rational at all to say no? I guess they got through the season. They technically played all the games on their schedule. There was success there. But at the end of the day, when you can't compete with your competition, what other people call that is just a loss, a big giant L. You have to wear the L. You don't get a success out of going for 11 years when you're supposed to last for generations, and then closing shop after taking $1.6 billion of federal money. That's not how this works. That's not what a success means. We should work on our definitions here, but words don't mean anything anymore. We can just call anybody anything. Doesn't even matter. The plant has long been criticized for the environmental trade-offs that came with large-scale energy production. Really, was it? This is a sensitive desert region, after all. Rays from the plant's mirrors have been blamed for incinerating thousands of birds. Conservation groups tried to stop construction on the site because of threats to tortoises. Now, we were told this was a huge success for the environment. We were told it was going to save the environment, but at the same time, we were incinerating tortoises. I mean, these poor little tortoises are just trying to make their way across the desert, just really, really slow. And then they're getting, like, cooked by 9,000 degree light beams. That is pathetic in every single way. But it is exactly what you'd expect from a government program, right? So now the environmentalists who embraced this at the beginning are now saying, oh gosh, actually it's just killing birds and tortoises and not giving us the energy that we need. We're going to get much cheaper from other solar projects. The Ivanpah plant was a financial boondoggle and environmental disaster, said Julia Dowell of the Sierra Club. Along with killing thousands of birds and tortoises, the project's construction destroyed irreplaceable pristine desert habitat, along with numerous rare plant species, said Dowell. While the Sierra Club strongly supports innovative clean energy and solutions and recognizes the urgent need to transition away from fossil fuels, Ivanpah demonstrated that not all renewable technologies are created equal. This is always the story, is it not? You come out, you have this big idea for solar panels or whatever, and then there's always another environmental group to come along and tell you, actually, that's not environmental enough. It's almost like they just don't want the energy at all. It seems like there's a degrowth motivation of some sort when it comes to a lot of these environmental groups. Doesn't matter how wonderful your technology is. That's not really the goal now, is it? If the PG&E agreement is approved, NRG says the units will be decommissioned, providing an opportunity for the site to potentially be repurposed for renewable energy solar production. The company did not respond to questions about the projected cost or what would become of the equipment at the site. It's going to be a really cool abandoned area to come check out one day. That's when I go to see it and I'll get excited about it. Energy experts are blasting the failed billion-dollar DOE project as a financial boondoggle and a disaster. Ivanpah is yet another failed green energy boondoggle, just like Solyndra, said Jason Isaac, CEO of the American Energy Institute and American Energy Advocacy Group, telling Fox News in a statement. Despite receiving $1.6 billion in federal loan guarantees, it's never lived up to the promises, producing less electricity than expected while still relying on natural gas, fossil fuels, to stay operational. So it's a solar plant that's not giving in the desert that can't provide the electricity promised. And so they had to supplement it with natural gas, fossil fuels. And it was killing a bunch of tortoises. That is a perfect chef's kiss environmental project. Incredible. So there you go on that one. So let me give you, by the way, what are they going to do with this area? Other than it eventually turning into a really cool area to go take photographs of after it's like deteriorated for like 12 or 15 years. There's an editorial out. Trump should fast track a new Las Vegas airport because they've got this area there, which is, you know, kind of cleared out. Now it's a desert, so really most areas are cleared out, but they've got this. It's already been developed. I guess all the tortoises are dead. So why not pave over the thing and let planes land there? Now, if you've ever been to Las Vegas, the actual main airport there is basically in the city. So it's really, really convenient if you're going to Vegas. Most likely you're wanting to get right to the tables when you land. So you would get a nice quick run right to your hotel. It's very, very easy. This one would be about 45 minutes outside the city. Now, it would be nice maybe to have a supplemental airport. There's a lot of flights that come into Vegas. As we've seen, we don't seem to be able to handle a lot of flights going into an individual place. See my documentary. So maybe this is could be a good idea. I'm always up for more development like this. I'm up for more airports. I like that sort of idea. But it's hilarious because follow the straight train of thought. $1.6 billion gets taken from you and given to some freaking company so they can develop a solar plant. That plant, of course, fails after killing a bunch of tortoises and birds. And then it goes into closing, and they're trying to figure out what the hell to do because everyone was complaining about all these birds and all this environmental stuff that went on. It wasn't really working for that. What do we do with it? Well, let's build a new airport there. Okay. However, when you read the story about the new airport, given the penchant for litigious environmental groups to gum up virtually any major infrastructure project that occurs, it will likely take longer than estimated. Patrick Donnelly, Great Basin Director of the Center for Biological Diversity, believes that threatened desert tortoises will be found on the airport site. They're worried about paving over the tortoises. This could mean a whole new set of obstacles and delays, making matters worse. I kid you not, this is a real sentence. I'm not making this up. Making matters worse, the white-margined penstemon, an obscure flower, may be found there too. So you can't build the airport because there's a flower there that's hard to find. This is your world. This is why people hate this crap so much. And you know, I will say, there have been a lot of bad solar projects. This is a great example of yet again, the Trump administration can, I don't think they're doing any project like this, but a little reminder of what not to do. Because most people don't like the solar projects that wind up coming into their lives. Usually they're disasters in one way or another. Of course, there are exceptions to this rule. For example, the once vaunted, and I'm sure I've seen a lot of them on the road, the solar roller.
Hey, check out the new model from Hyundai. They call it the Hyundai Solar Roller. your perfect everyday automobile that won't hurt the environment because it runs on 100% solar power.
Warning, do not drive the solar roller at night. Do not drive the solar roller through a tunnel. Do not drive the solar roller under long stretches of trees. Do not drive the solar roller through Alaska or Seattle. Do not leave your home and your solar roller within 4 hours of dusk or dawn. Do not drive the solar roller up a hill more than 17 degrees in incline. Do not drive the solar roller up a hill. If the solar roller begins to overheat, run. Do not put your thumb over the solar roller's solar-tastic solar panel. Do not attempt to drive the solar roller above its top speed of 32 miles per hour. The solar roller will only reach its top speed of 32 miles per hour driving downhill during a Category 4 hurricane. The solar roller may spontaneously combust if driven over 23 miles per hour. Do not eat meat in the solar roller. Do not have sexual relations in the solar roller. You will not have sexual relations if you own a solar roller. Do not verbally assault the solar roller. You will want to verbally assault your solar roller. The solar roller only comes in silver. This is because it is entirely constructed of grade B tinfoil and should not be chewed, put in the microwave, or made into tinfoil balls.
That's right. It's the new Hyundai Solar Roller. It loves the environment, and it loves you.
The solar roller loves you. You will not love the solar roller.
Real Estate Agents I Trust is exactly what you need right now because the housing market is a mess. And on top of that, if you've seen your electric bill lately, thanks probably to some crazy solar project that's in your area, energy costs are out of control thanks to the brilliant green energy policies our leaders keep pushing on us. Sky-high utility prices are hitting homeowners really hard, and it makes it even tougher to buy or sell a home. This is why you need a real pro on your side. Real Estate Agents I Trust connects you with top-selling agents in your area. These are not part-timers or hobbyists. These are people who are full-time experts and know how to get the best price for your home. Whether you're buying, selling, or both, they know the market, they know how to negotiate, and they know how to close deals fast. Do not leave one of the biggest financial decisions of your life to chance, especially when every dollar counts. Find an agent who will fight for you and get you the best deal possible. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com. Get started now. It's realestateagentsitrust.com, a free service to you. realestateagentsitrust.com.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
I want to bring in the one, the only Jesse Kelly to the program. You know him, of course, as host of The Jesse Kelly Show and First TV's I'm Right with Jesse Kelly. Jesse, thanks for coming on.
Stu, I hope you enjoy my shirt. My wife hates it so much that I had to wear it for your show today.
It is impressive. And even if you're listening on podcast only, you still can sense the shirt, I think. it's quite amazing. It's quite amazing.
You know, you get to a point in life and you just want to wear whatever's comfortable, right? That old man age, and apparently I hit that early. And she doesn't understand that. You can't wear tennis shoes. You can't wear that shirt. We're not in Hawaii. Yes, but I can act like I'm in Hawaii. I'm 43. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, I feel like that age is more like usually in the 70s. and you're as always, way out in front of the rest of the crowd here, Jesse. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. I want to talk to you in a Hawaiian shirt about something very serious, which is the cartels south of the border. Tren de Aragua has been named a global terrorist organization. The border security obviously going in the right direction with Donald Trump. So we see a lot of positive developments in that world. I do get the sense, however, that like we have this idea that we're going to say, hey, we need to go kick the cartel's ass, and we're going to just go do that. And then that's going to be the end of a nice weekend story for everybody. And I wonder if that's reality.
Yeah, I share your concerns, Stu, and I've been trying to talk to the American people about this as much as I possibly can lately without sounding like, you know, like a Debbie Downer or blackpilling or something like that. So I guess I need to throw out the disclaimer first that I'm all about this. You know, I'm all about, we got to stop the flow of fentanyl. We have to do these things. I'm all about it. But, you know, politics, you've seen this, right? Everyone listening right now, watching right now knows this, that politics can oftentimes, you want to simplify things and things get boiled down into a bumper sticker, right? So it's, you know, support our troops. It's that kind of stuff, really mm-hmm. simple stuff. And when it comes to the cartel stuff, we love, you know, we love Tom Holman, Trump going on the news. We're going to eradicate the cartels. We'll wipe them off the face of the earth. That stuff, it makes people cheer, right? It makes people stand up and cheer. That sounds good. Yeah. But I wanted to steal people, to steal their hearts and get them ready for what is going to be a long, brutal slog. It's not going to be one night where Delta Force drops in and takes out a couple guys like you saw in the movies, and maybe we drop a bomb on there and we're good to go. These people are the government. That is the problem. It's not that militarily we can't take out the cartel. They are heavily, heavily in the federal government in Mexico, and they completely control half of the states of Mexico. Mexico has states just like we have states. And half of their states are narco states. Whatever we're going to do, and I don't know what we're going to do, but they're smartly not releasing the plan. But if the plan is to do more than, you know, assassinate this leader or assassinate that leader, if the plan is to actually go in and root this stuff out, you better prepare yourself for a long, brutal slog, because they are the government in much of Mexico.
Do you have any concept, Jesse, as to what this long, brutal slog looks like? Because, I mean, I think we all kind of in America are like, we have the superior military. If we want to go kick people's asses, we do it. I mean, you know, we've seen this from time to time with different terrorist organizations, and we've been successful in some of those efforts. But like, you know, as you point out, these people are very tied in to the government. You know, they have massive resources of their own and a level of brutality that is challenged only by organizations like ISIS, right? Like, when we have, you know, a family near the border that's murdered in their house and hung out in front off of trees in their front yard to send a message to everybody, what is going to be the stomach for that from Americans?
Yeah, that's another part of this. Again, people boil this down. I'm glad you brought it up. They boil it down to military. You know, they think, well, they can't take on our guys militarily. It goes way beyond that. We are fighting not only the government, as I just pointed out, we're fighting public opinion. You think you love this because you have pictured the Navy SEALs haloing in and taking someone out and getting off clean and everybody gets a medal and life is good. What happens when one of those bombs goes astray and there's a little Mexican kid on the news? How do you think CNN is going to cover it if the Donald Trump presidency is responsible for a single innocent person in Mexico? How's the Mexican government going to cover it when they don't want us there? In places like Sinaloa is a good example. Well, I'll pause on that for a moment. You know, Pablo Escobar to this day is celebrated heavily in parts of Medellin by the community, by the people themselves. Mm. Now, that sounds crazy to people. How could this murderous thug? Well, he built churches. He built soccer fields. He paved the roads. He provided medical facilities. I know he was a bad guy. I know. Don't save your emails. Don't send it to me. To the people who live there, who get pulled out of abject poverty, and your daughter gets life-saving treatment courtesy of Pablo Escobar, you're not worried that he's shipping booger sugar to Miami. You are forever loyal to that guy. In Sinaloa, in places all over Mexico, the cartels are the government of the community, meaning you need the road paved. They will do it. You are getting married. They may just pay for it. They may host the wedding. They provide schooling for your children. I'm not celebrating them, but these cartels in so many places are ingrained in the community. You are fighting against a popular local government in many cases. Now, how has that gone historically for the United States of America?
Mm, yeah, not always so well. And we've seen what happens when internal forces in Mexico have attempted to take these people on. We've seen them just get executed in the streets. We've seen murders of their families. And I don't think, you know, to speak for you a little bit here, I don't think we're trying to say, like, you can't do this, you don't do this.
Correct.
It is a worthwhile pursuit, because this is causing all sorts of problems, not only for Mexico, but obviously here in America. So what is the right answer? Do we just need to go into this with our eyes wide open?
I think that is the right answer, Stu. That's my only point in this. It is not at all saying don't do it or we can't do it. That's not at all what I'm saying. My concern is the mentality that has doomed nations many times before when they go into a war. This is going to be quick and easy. This is going to be quick and easy. We'll be home by Christmas. I was in a war where I was told things like that before. Oh, a couple weeks, we'll have her wrapped up. Everyone will be home. You'll be with your girlfriend again. Every time a nation goes into any kind of a conflict thinking that, the people are setting themselves up for disappointment. My only purpose in this talk is to keep people's eyes open that this is not going to be an overnight affair. It's not the movie Sicario, not part one or part two. This is going to be a slog against an entrenched enemy with tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of employees, encrypted comms, night vision goggles. We are dealing with people who are going to be a problem. It's not going to be an overnight affair, I promise you.
I want to change gears here to maybe the one thing that might be more difficult than taking out the cartels, which is making America healthy again. It's going to be really, really hard. I will say I saw this exchange from you on Twitter, which I loved. You wrote, thrilled we got RFK in there. It's about time we get America healthy again. And then also me, and just posted a picture of a delicious looking pepperoni pizza. Now, you got a response from this, which was interesting. A woman named Allie said, hey, it's not cool to brag about vice. If you have weakness every now and then, fine, but don't promote it. Your response was very Jesse Kelly in nature. It's a pizza, you hen-pecking nag, not a pile of cocaine. Log off and scold your husband about something, which is... exactly the message I think she needed to hear in that moment. But it did make me think a bit about this and this idea of, you know, MAHA as a concept. If what it boils down to is a bunch of Karens telling me not to eat junk food, it is going to be a miserable failure. Do you agree?
100%. You are 1,000% right. And this is honestly, we insiders, everyone watching, listening, we're all hyper informed, right? We know the issues in Congress and the bills and things like that. But one of the main reasons the left is completely on the outs right now, at least for the time being, that won't last forever. But one of the main reasons they're on the outs is they scolded everybody. They turned into a hen-pecking nag party where they talk down to everybody. You're an idiot. You're wrong. All they were doing is lecturing people 24 hours a day. You can't say this. You can't say that. It's part of the reason young people, of all demographics, young people are moving to the right. And it's not only young men anymore. Why? Because they look awful. They have become the party of Karens. And so I'm all about this, you know, getting America healthier, even though I eat terribly. I'm trying to make improvements, I admit that. I'm all about getting America healthier, get the crap out of the food. I'm all game for that. But it better not turn into screaming at your cousin because she pulls out a bag of Cool Ranch Doritos. If that's what it turns into, if we turn into what they are, we will find ourselves on the outs just like they are and looking around wondering why.
Yeah, no, I think it's so true. I mean, you know, like there are things that people just like in life. And, you know, a pizza every once in a while is one of them, right? It doesn't mean that you're constantly eating horribly or that you want to encourage. It's not a message of fat pride that we're bringing to the table here. Yeah. But you should be able to enjoy life a little bit. I notice this with the global warming movement a lot. They get themselves in trouble because they will come out and say, hey, we need to fix global warming. And what we need to do that is to make it so your toilets don't flush or your big screen TVs are going to be a little bit smaller, or you can't keep the temperature at 72 degrees or whatever it is. And you go after the things in life that people actually enjoy, you wind up losing every single time.
Yeah, here's a list of things that make your life in even small ways a little bit better. And here's a list of reasons why I've decided you shouldn't be allowed to have those things anymore. That is not a winning political message now. It never has been. It never will be. And we need to be careful of that with some things now. Look, I'm all about everything going on, but you're totally right. The MAHA thing, and I'm all game for that, too. Again, behind it, it better not turn into, well, with that woman you just pointed out, it better not turn into that or we will find ourselves on the outs. Nobody likes getting freaking nagged at. Nobody does, and henpecked and scolded. And now you're going to eat that. Nobody likes that person. That's why everyone hates feminists, because that's all they do all the time is just vee, 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 in your ear with your crew cut and your cats and your Subaru Outback. And that's why everybody hates those people.
I think that's very true. We have about 1 minute left here, Jesse. Give me your impression of the first month of the Trump administration.
I'm doing backflips. It's way better than I thought it was ever going to be. Trump 2.0 is so much better than Trump 1.0. I'm not even sure he's the same person at this point in time. I am thrilled, thrilled beyond belief. I do hope, and I realize this takes time, I do hope we get arrests, not firings, arrests. Criminals in the government deserve to go to prison just like other criminals do. But so far right now, I'm a happy man. Hard to complain.
All right. There's Jesse Kelly telling you about your health, telling you about the Trump administration, telling you about the cartels in a Hawaiian shirt. Nobody else could pull it off, but Jesse can. Be sure to check to him. Are you going to be wearing this on I'm Right with Jesse Kelly on First TV tonight? Will this be the outfit?
Well, now I am.
Okay, there we go. We've locked you in. They can't complain over there anymore. Jesse Kelly Show, of course, as well, our premier radio network's brethren. Jesse, thanks so much for coming on the program, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, my brother.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer.
Last year, an event called Share the Arrows with our friend Ali Beth Stuckey was a massive, massive success. It was absolutely packed. If you missed that, there's great news. You got a second chance. And trust me, you're going to want to take that chance. October 11th this year in Dallas, Ali Beth Stuckey is bringing back the Share the Arrows event. This year, it's even bigger. It's not just another feel-good conference. It's about strengthening Christian women to stand firm in a culture that wants them to cave. The world is very loud, as we know, and the lies are very much everywhere. But you do not have to navigate that alone. This event is packed with bold teaching, powerful worship, and real encouragement from some of the strongest Christian voices around today. You're going to leave fired up. You're going to leave equipped. You're going to leave ready to stand up. And that's the really important thing. Now, men out there, if you happen to have a woman in your life who needs this, I will say, make sure she gets there, because it is a great event. My wife went last year, and she absolutely loved it. She had a great time. She brought a bunch of her friends. They felt really enriched by the experience. It's something I think you're really going to enjoy. Check it out. Tickets go on sale Friday. So it's February 28th, right? A couple days from now. Blaze subscribers, though, get first dibs on the best seats. So head to sharetheArrows.com. Lock in your spot now. SharetheArrows.com. Check it out. I'm happy to welcome Blaze alum Billy Hollowell back to the program. He's the author of Playing with Fire, A Modern Investigation into Demons, Exorcism, and Ghosts, and co-host of one of my favorite podcasts, CBN's Quick Start. Of course, you listen to that every morning. It's great, along with our friend Dan Andrews. So, Billy, great to see you, man.
It's great to be here. It's great to be back here.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah, down in Texas. It's 77 degrees here today. So.
Yeah, which is better than the 10 degrees in New York
that
I'm missing.
Much better. Let me talk to you. Let me start with some politics here. There's always controversy around Donald Trump, as we know, and there's no exception, of course, as he's become president a second time. There has been like an additional focus, I feel like, on faith elements around the new administration. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to be the standard is anyone who's a believer is not allowed to be anywhere associated with the government, or it's controversial.
Well, it's Christian nationalism. You didn't.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
that. Anytime that anybody shows up to talk about God. Yeah. No, it's interesting because you have this Paula White thing, you know, heading up the faith office. Mm-hmm. She comes in, and this isn't new. She was there last time around. So I feel like it's interesting that there's so much frustration, even among Christians, about her, which is a separate topic. But this idea that you shouldn't have God be present in government, not a new problem with the left, but I think we're seeing a lot of liberals react to this as though, you know, oh, the Christian nationalists are going to take over. Really, what's happening is you have people who say, look, we believe in a God. We have leaders making crazy decisions every day that are difficult. And so if you believe in a God, you should probably ask him what those decisions should be before you make them, right? Yeah. So that's what's going on there.
Right. Well, what's the relationship there? Because obviously, like, in a theoretical world where Christian nationalism actually was in the White House, right? That would be something, I guess, that you were taking whatever religious belief you had and turning those things into laws. People who don't agree are punished. They can't live their lives differently than, you know, whatever your designated faith is. You know, there is, obviously, there are regimes all around the world who do some version of this, not usually Christian, usually another faith. So, like, what's the proper role
for
a politician as they go in and look for that guidance that they need?
Well, I think there's, before I even answer it, this other weird factor of Trump being Trump. It's a guy who doesn't present as a Christian. He doesn't, like, you don't see Trump and you're like, there's a pastor. You see Trump and you're like, oh my gosh, what did he just say? So you have that factor, and I think it infuses some of the weirdness around this and the strangeness. But really, the role should be that these pastors are coming in and they're providing prayer. I mean, if you believe prayer is powerful, they're offering that up. They're providing guidance. They're saying, look, you're making a decision about who to bomb, who not to bomb. I mean, these are life-altering decisions, what programs to cut. You should be praying through that, asking for guidance, not mandating that everybody be a Christian. That's not what's going on. Not mandating that every policy be Christian, but that you have that influence. If you say you believe this thing, why would you not have people around you helping you sort of live that out? And I don't know what's in Trump's heart, but I do know that clearly he's been open to having these people, these pastors from Franklin Graham down the line, around him. And I don't see how that's a bad thing in any realm. Because, by the way, all these pastors, all these people, what they do is they serve the poor. They help people in need. They do great things, right? So why would we not want them there?
I love how they're like, oh, this is a theocracy headed by Donald Trump and Elon Musk.
Right.
Which is like, really?
Non-Christians, as far as I can tell, or he says he's a Christian, I don't know. But like, yeah, it's just, it's a very strange thing. But I think it goes back to the real issue, which is that these people don't want to see faith anywhere. They want it to be gone, and they want to live what we've seen for the last 4 years. They want that to continue, and it won't be now. So they're upset about it.
Yeah, it does seem strange. And like, I think, like, there's an element, I think, at least the way I think about faith as it relates to politics, is that, like, at some level, like, if you're in, I don't know, Iran, and you're going around and they're like, hey, you got to live all these Islamic laws and everything else, or we're going to murder you. Like, I don't think you're showing all that much faith by doing it, right? Like, I don't think there's a personal journey there. You're just terrified.
Surviving.
And you're surviving. Where, like, I think it's important to have some sort of separation there. Like, there, you know, you should have the availability to do things that are not consistent with the faith. The point of faith, I think, is a personal journey to choose the right thing to do, not to be forced into doing
100%.
It. 100%.
Like, Trump can hear what they're saying, and he might not agree. He might be like, they're advisors, basically, right? That's what they're there to do. And I think that's fine. I agree 100%. Some separation is healthy. Like, you don't want to be in a theocracy. You don't want to be in Iran. You don't want to be in a country like that. And we don't have that. That's not what's going on. It didn't happen last time, and it's not happening this time.
Yeah, and separation of church and state, by the way, not a constitutional concept. It comes from a letter. Secondarily, it doesn't mean no one who believes in God can be in the government. That is not what it means at all, even though the left, I think, wants to make it that. Let me change gears to a documentary you've been working on. It's called Investigating the Supernatural, talking about miracles. And I think, like, this gets some people who are not maybe, you know, comfortable with going to church and not in this world, makes them feel like, oh, you're talking about a bunch of magic tricks. Well, tell me about the documentary and what it investigates.
Yeah, this was really a powerful experience. Like, we went around the country. We found a number of stories, that 3 to 4 stories we're talking about here, that are like ironclad, crazy stories, like brain tumor that disappears, right? Mm-hmm. No treatment. A man who's paralyzed for 10 years and starts walking after a prayer service, right? And so the goal was to kind of go into this, though, because I'm kind of a skeptic. I'm a Christian, but my first go-to is, like, prove it to me. Like, you're telling me this happened. You need to prove it, because it sounds crazy. I know this happened in the Bible, but does this still happen today? And so we went into this with that frame and interviewed the people, the families, the people involved in it, gathered the evidence. You know, these stories happened around the country. And I walked away. I went into it like a 0 out of 10, a 5. Like, I'm going to be in the middle on this. I'm going to question these stories. And I walked away really impacted and honestly convicted about how I live my life, like, just watching how these people navigated their journeys.
That's really cool. I mean, figuring out what a miracle is, I think, is an interesting idea, because I think you can say, like, you know, okay, your brain tumor disappears. Like, that's pretty easy to put on the miracle scale. But I do feel like a lot of the things that we take for granted on a day-to-day basis, I mean, I joke and say nacho cheese Doritos are a miracle, which I think they kind of are.
They kind of are.
Like, I think of something like an MRI, right? Like, the fact that, like, the knowledge came to someone to create something like that has made so many lives so much better and healed so many people. I mean, is that a miracle or am I thinking about it wrong?
No, I think it is. I think there are different layers of miracles, right? Like we're talking about medical miracles in this documentary, but how many times have you had something happen where there are 10 events that happened before it and you're like, there's no way that these things all happen. I mean, it happens to all of us. Yeah. And I think for the skeptic, they struggle with that because they're like, well, there's no God, there's nothing here, you know? But when you have people who, I mean, the one guy I'm thinking of in this documentary, literally, he was a police officer. He falls on the ice, breaks his back, his neck essentially, ends up paralyzed for 10 years, desperate. And the thing that's kind of crazy about this, these people didn't just get a miracle right away. It took years of praying and trusting and believing. But he ends up going to this prayer service and they pray over him. And this is on film. Like we've got it on film. And his hand opens up and he walks out of this prayer service after 10 years of not walking. I don't know how an atheist confronts that and says just magically this man came back to life and can sort of walk. Yeah. And we actually have a story about somebody who came back to life literally too.
Really?
Yeah, it's wild.
It really is. And I think the skeptic is he probably could move and you guys are faking it. Right. But this has been something, these are well-documented stories.
Well-documented. And medical documentation. That was really important to us going into this, that we approach these stories in a way that any skeptic, because again, I was naturally skeptical going into it, that we could prove hey, we have the evidence and we're going to present it to you. And we're not telling people what to think. Like you can leave the film and say, look, I don't think these things are miracles, but I don't know how you could do that.
Yeah, yeah. One thing I think is interesting too is the real advancement among faith-based films, documentaries, Christian entertainment, if you will. It's just so much better than it used to be.
Amazing.
I mean, to be honest, it used to be crappy. You guys at CBN are doing some great work with this now. Angel Studios has been doing fantastic stuff. This is making a real difference, I think.
Well, let me make a shout out right now to my friends John Gunn and John Irwin, because
I
was just with them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you already did this. But the fact they're doing House of David.
Yeah.
Right. And that, I mean, I've
on
seen
Prime.
It on Prime.
Yeah.
And this is the first time a major streamer has come in and said, we're going to partner with you. I went on set. I went out to Greece and visited them in August. And I was blown away by how much money they spent on this production. It was just cool to see wow, Hollywood's actually maybe getting it right now. And they're realizing there's at least money to be made here. But the effect of that is that people's lives can be changed. They can be entertained. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah. And now you say, and we have about a minute left, and you say Hollywood is getting it. I will say there are some exceptions to that. Reacher star, which is, I think that's Prime too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Alan Richson. He says, fellow Christians are calling him out, saying, how dare you have unmarried sex scenes on TV and then talk about Jesus? He then goes on to say, his explanation for this is to say, how can you criticize me when you're voting for Trump, who's a rapist and a con man?
I just can't.
I mean, there is an element of Hollywood that's just never going to get it.
No, they're never going to get it. And it's like, why are we doing this? At the end of the day, I do think if you're saying you're a Christian and you're going out there and you're making rampant sex scenes in films, I think it's an appropriate question to ask. Is there some disconnect here? Because you're preaching this thing. And I don't want to be overly judgmental of him, but I think it's bizarre that he doesn't understand why people think that's weird and why he's bringing Trump up. I mean, it's a derangement syndrome at this point.
Right. But you'd think it's something that if you're a Christian actor and you're in something like this, and I've seen Reacher, I mean, it's also very violent. It's got lots of stuff in it. But I mean, he is acting, right?
True.
And I'm sure it's got to be something that you wrestle with. I mean, if you're taking your faith seriously, it's got to be something that you've at least put a lot of thought into. And for him to just go to, Trump's a rapist, it doesn't seem like he's put any thought into it at all.
How about you think about it and come up with a thoughtful response? That's my point. If you come up with an excuse for why you think it's okay, that's fine. But he didn't do that. He attacked people for supporting Trump. I mean, you need to actually explain why this isn't an issue for you, which I'd love to hear.
Yeah, it would be an interesting conversation, right? Because you have to put thought on that. And I will say, you're going to that lowest common denominator, right? It's just I'll throw Trump out there. People hate Trump, and therefore, they'll side with me.
Well, he needs likes. I mean, he needs shares and likes. I'm sure that's what it is.
I bet he gets them. He also gets some angry comments too. That's out there for you to watch. The House of David is out there for you to watch on Amazon Prime. And also the documentary Supernatural, investigating the supernatural miracles. This is available from CBN.
Yep.
Where people go to find it?
CBN.com/supernatural.
CBN.com/supernatural. It's Billy Hollowell. Be sure to grab a copy of his book as well, Playing with Fire, A Modern Investigation into Demons, Exorcism and Ghosts, and check him out on CBN's Quick Start podcast as well. Billy, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so here's what happened. American ingenuity, that's the type of thing that we can all get behind, right? People, when you have a task in front of you, you have an obstacle. You're able to go above and beyond that obstacle to get to your goal. And that's simply what a couple of people from Colorado were doing, a couple of men, who decided they needed to get some crystal meth over an obstacle, over it was in this case a wall, and into a prison. So what were they going to do? Well, they decided to use a meth cannon to do that. Now, this is an interesting idea. It solves the problem in some ways, although it's supposed to be sort of a stealthy attack. You're essentially getting the meth in there so the inmates can have it. I think maybe using a cannon and sneaking around, not necessarily the best idea. And why use a cannon when you have something much more quiet like a cow catapult?
If you do not agree to my commands, then I shall... Jesus Christ!
There you go. Run away. Run away. By the way, I just do want to point out before we go, one of the two men, you're going to be shocked to hear, was an illegal immigrant. I mean, here we are thinking these guys just come here and do the jobs Americans just won't do. And I guess in this case, not a lot of Americans wanted to participate in the meth cannon. So I suppose in this one limited instance, that's true.